Is this my message voice?
Yes.
But no, I there is more in my heart I want to share with you. Before I do so, I would like to do is, first of all, this is stuff for if you would join me in prayer. I'm going to kneel in the main series. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Eye has not seen, no ear heard, no entered the heart of man, the things that you have prepared for us. Lord, grant thy Holy Spirit to fill this section. I ask, Lord, that you would, with thy mightiest of angels, just kick anything that is not of heaven out. You rebuke the evil.
Amen.
Lord, we know that greater is he that is in us than he is in this world. And I humbly ask, Lord, that you hide me in the shadows. That what words and the message that you have placed on my heart, you glorify the Father through me. Nothing in me. Lord, allow this time to be a time precious, and that you may bring a smile on your face. All in your precious, loving name, Jesus.
Amen.
The scripture that I used for the message placed on my heart, it's a hard scripture. Isaiah 4:6 is not an easy scripture. It almost sounds like God is abandoning us, doesn't it? Let me read it again to you. And it's a hard one. It is really hard. I mean, let me go to it. Isaiah 4:6. God's word reads, "My people are destroyed by the lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." That is a serious rebuke. And so, is this a God of no mercy? Is this what this is? If we were to take a soundbite, is this the God we serve? I say no. God wants us to wake up. He wants us to be a people who want to investigate who he is. He wants us to study him. How many of you ever have done anything, wanted to learn something, and you went to YouTube? car maintenance, house maintenance. What is it?
Recipe.
Absolutely. Anything else?
New language.
New languages? Absolutely. ASL, right? That's what my wife and I do. What else? Absolutely. Anything else? Yeah. Oh, no kidding, right? We study. We study, and we do it in I mean, it's like a natural process, isn't it? And when I personally went to YouTube and said, hey, I need to do this in the house, but I don't want to make a bigger mess than I already have. And I look at it multiple times. I said, did I get it right? And I do it again. Did I get it right? And I do it again. Do I have an amen in here? I mean, do we have this, right? Okay. That's what God wants us to do. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to go back and back and back. He wants us to get it right. Now, there sometimes is a problem with self, isn't it? Because self will say, I want to be right, and you will recognize that I'm right and you're wrong. That is not what God wants us to do. God wants each and every one of us to be right with Him. And we all have our trials. And we talked about that. So when God starts talking to us in ways that get our attention, like Hosea 4:6, I don't know about it, it gets my attention. He wants us to get right with Him. Does that make sense? Am I getting? Am I coming across the plan? Is God says, I'm not going to force you. I want you to want to be right with me. That's the kind of God we have. Praise God for that. Because we're going to get into this. And so, and this is going to kind of spin off of the Sabbath school lesson as well, which was done beautifully. Wonderful job. Absolutely wonderful job. I was like, man, she is stealing everything I was going to present. I was like, okay, that's all right. That's good. So there's a premise that I want to throw out. So it's like, okay, what is Tom talking about? This is okay. The premise is that God wants us to be right with Him. And if we're right with God, are we going to be right with each other? We want to make that assumption, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. But why would God want us to be right with Him? Why? I mean, that's an honest question, isn't it? Isn't it? Why would God want us to be right with Him? Medical mission work that you're doing. Brother, what is your name? I mean, what drives you to do that? What motivates you? What says, I'm going to spend time and I'm going to do this? What motivates you to do that? Amen. Because, I mean, when you think about it, I was like, isn't the love of God brings men, women, children to repentance? Right? And so the why is God is love. Have you ever thought about a God that says, I need you with me because you complete my love? Have you ever thought about that? That God needs each and every one of us. He needs us to complete His love. We need Him. Make no mistake about that. Okay, I am chief of sinners. But God needs each and every one of us. And He doesn't care where we are,
man,
at this very moment. But I know how it feels to be financially stressed. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows. You know what it is to have family members and all that. And God says, I understand. but there's something that I need to do because I'm stressed. I have a love stress and I need every one of my children in my family. I want to put my arms around and hug you and love you. And I don't want a separation. So let's look at this. 1 John 4:7-8. We're going to be going to the Bible. I know that you're very generous. God, so all you need. Okay, all right. I am not going to wear you out. But you know what? When it talks about the love of God and how much he needs us to complete his joy, how can we just kind of skim through that?
First John 4:7-8.
Let me go to that. 1 John 4:7-8. I know it, but I know what they saw. Beloved, let us love one another. I'm not going to kill you with my voice. So I promise I won't do that. 1 John 4:7-8. God's word reads, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And that is one too, says that God cannot love. God is love. God is love. John 3:16-17. Probably the most memorized verses in the entire Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe John 1. In the beginning was the Word, Word God, Word was God. But in John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah, right? Might be saved. There's that need thing, right? God needs us to be ready. God said, I want all of you. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what happened over there. I don't care what this. I want to love you. I want to change you. I want to live in you. We talked about that during the Sabbath. Now, here's the real cool thing. He's all knowing. He's all present. He's all powerful. Am I on track?
Yes.
Okay. So there might be a skeptic out there. There might be a critic that says, where is that? Where do you find that? Right? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. So it's right after Galatians. So go to Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to really enjoy it. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm in Galatians. Let's get to it. Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, and it's verses 4-6. I'll read it. And God's word reads, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. But I'm just going to stop. He has chosen. Let's just put our name in. Put your name in. He has chosen your name before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but man, I love reservations like that. This is a relationship that is not whimsical. This is like, oh, today I like you, tomorrow maybe not. You're my best friend. Oh, no, he kind of fell away. You kind of did that. You know, kind of hurt my feelings. I think I'm going to put you in a corner for about 3 years. No. That's not from God. No. It says right here, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. How many of us want to be holy and blameless?
Man.
How many times have we ever had to, Lord, keep making the same mistake. Lord, I lost my temper. What is going on? Lord, I keep on looking at the wrong way. I get distracted. And the devil's like quick to, ooh, look what you did, Tom. Ooh, look at you. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you're right. But you know what? 1 John 4:4, right? So greater is he that is in us than he is in this world. He's an accuser of the brothers. Let him accuse all he wants. Because we have Jesus Christ, his blood that was shed, and that he says, you know what? You may have your own unrighteousness. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not, there's one, Tom, that you're doing. Now, I can't cleanse that one. Sorry, brother. You're stuck with that one. No. All unrighteousness. All. This is complete. This is a solidification of what this is God saying. I need you in my life. Come here, Mom. I need you. Come here. All of you. I need every single one of you. I don't care if you didn't take a shower. I don't care if you didn't brush your teeth. I don't care. That's God. That's what we have. It keeps on going. It doesn't even stop at that one. Look at this one. Without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Did you get that predestinated thing? Before the foundation of the world, the plan has always been to be adopted through Christ. So if you're ever in a spot, you're like, oh man, I'm not worthy. I'm a loser. I can't make it. I don't meet the mark. I don't look like they do in Hollywood. I got a long neck. I look stupid. I can't smile. And my teeth aren't the prettiest. My speech sometimes is broken. You know what? God says, excuse me? What did God say to Moses at the burning bush? You remember?
Who made the tongue?
That's right, brother. Who made the tongue? Oh, I have a stammering speech. I'm slow to speak. They don't get upset. Yeah, he did. He got upset with them. We are adopted. But you know what? You can be adopted and rejected. Who in their right mind said, you know what? I know that there's no blood relationship, but I'm going to adopt every single one of you, and I am been blessed abundantly, and you're going to share my inheritance of everything I ever have. And who in the world would say, you know what? Yeah, maybe you want. You can have eternal life. No. I don't want that. That's. I'll live with the pain and the sorrow and the horribleness of this world. Not at all. We have a God who loves us and has predestined us for the adoption of children through Jesus Christ. Pretty cool. I don't know about you. Praise God. I know where I have been. And I have never been always in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I have been in the other side of the world. I was an atheist. I denied God. I did everything humanly possible to make myself the worst person in the world. But finally, I got through my thick head that I'm adopted. Let's read on. Let us read on. According to the good pleasure of his will. If you look at the concordance for will, the will, you have to go to Psalm 40, verse 8. Let's go to Psalm 40, verse 8. Let's do this Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 8. Psalm 40, verse 8. Psalm 40, verse 8. I'm setting you up right now. Setting a platform, a foundation. There is a plan. There is a reason what's going on. Okay. Psalm 40, verse 8. If anyone ever asks you about the will of God, remember Psalm 40, verse 8. Okay? And it reads, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God, yea, thy law is in my heart.
Man.
So what is that? What is this will thing? What's the will thing? The will is to do the delight of God and God. Can you imagine what this world would be if we just followed God's law? Oh my goodness. You wouldn't need rocks on your doors.
No water.
You wouldn't have death. Right? Maybe people getting into the point where they're so old that they just gently fall asleep in their homes. God. But you know, I mean, think about it. There will be no arguments. Families would be unified. Dare to say, you would follow the health laws. No need for doctors. Maybe someone might fall down and set a bone, but for these heart disease, diabetes, how about mental illness? Never in the design of creation. Never, ever. So that leads me to this one thing. So, is there a great controversy going on now?
Yes,
absolutely. We talked about that Sabbath school, didn't we? There is a great controversy. In fact, Revelation chapter 12 talks about that, doesn't it? Revelation chapter 12 says, there was war in
heaven.
Okay. Is it who in here, tell me, can you wrap your mind about that? War in heaven. That is gonna be a question that it's gonna be. It's like, Lord, how did that happen? Everything was laid out. But yet there was one a covering cherub of all. And you can read about that in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. But there was iniquity found in him. And he worked his traffic. And he convinced a third of the angels to join him, to the point where they did their politicking in heaven. I mean,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, is not politics a division of us today?
Yeah.
But what are you?
Do I need to say it? I was like, what are you? What are you? I was like,
friends, family, divided.
Are you a Trump supporter? You're out of here.
Oh, you're a Biden supporter? You're out of here. You do that? You do this? I was like, oh my goodness. That's exactly what the devil did. You think our politics is divisive? Imagine what it was in heaven. Imagine. I'm getting somewhere on this, okay? I promise you. You're probably going, where are you going? I promise you. We're getting there. So he was kicked out of heaven, wasn't he?
No, I got it.
Amen?
Yes.
He was kicked out of heaven. Where did he go? Came here. Lucky us.
Yay.
But you know what? God had a reason for that. What did not we read in Ephesians chapter 1, 4, verse 6, that God had predestined us to be his children? Maybe there's something there. Maybe this whole great controversy is something that is going to show the love of God. And we are his testimony. Ever thought about that? We're chosen. And we have a choice. Do we want to stand for God or not stand for God? So when was the first attack on God's feet? When was the first attack?
Heaven.
And then after heaven, it went to this earth. When was the first attack on earth? Adam and Eve. And what? How did that attack go? Was that successful?
Yes.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It was.
Only out of the proof.
We got the proof. Exactly. We got the proof. And what was God's solution for that attack in the Garden of Eden? What did God do? Remember?
Love.
He sent Jesus.
He walked to the garden, right? He's walking to the garden. And what did Adam and Eve do? Remember?
They hid.
They hid, right? This is all in Genesis chapter 3. Okay, and what did God ask them?
Where are you?
Okay. Keep that in mind. Kind of tuck that away behind your ear. Where are you? Okay, I'm not going to go down that road yet. And they were covered in what? Fig leaves covered themselves because they were naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? Oh, man. The cat's out, right? Oh, man. But God, was he okay with their coverings?
No.
God said, no, your coverings don't work. What did God do? He had a sacrifice, didn't he? And he gave them skins. Covering them. Okay, took that away. All right. So now, let's go to Genesis chapter 6. Remember Genesis chapter 6? Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. That's a good one. Joyce and I will be talking, and we're just like, just going through, and it's like, how bad were they during the flood, right? Genesis chapter 6. I'm just going to just... Go to chapter, verse 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. All right. This is God's word. This is what he said. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Have you ever really looked at that verse? Not an idea. Every thought was evil. Evil. I mean, they woke up. Evil. They went to bed. Evil. Continuously. I'm not even an intermittent, like, oh, there's some goodness in this person. No, they chose to walk the path of darkness. Ooh. But what happened? What did God do? What happened? What was there someone during that time period that their thoughts were continuously evil? Mm-hmm. Who was that? Noah. Why? Let's go to Noah. Verse number 9, 8 and 9. God's word says in chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Walked with God. One man out of an entire civilization. And what did he have? What did God direct Noah to do? Build an ark. To build an ark. And for 120 years, Jesus, I'm sorry. 120 years, Noah, through the Holy Spirit, begged. Desired. What did we talk about, God? God says, I need you to make me complete. Mm-hmm. God says to Noah, I need you to get in the ark. Right? I need you to get in the ark. I need you to get in the ark. But did he force him to get into the ark?
No.
No. How many went into the ark?
Eight.
Eight. How many perished? We have no idea. It could be like the sands of the sea. That was a choice. And it broke God's heart. Because in Ezekiel 33, God says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn from your wicked ways and live. God is God of love.
Amen.
Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 is the burning bush. What happened at the burning bush? Is that a Moses thing? Yeah, that's with Moses, right? Okay, so Exodus chapter 3. Let's get there. Okay, Exodus chapter 3. And what is going on with Moses? Why is God having this conference call with Moses? He says, I'm going to have a Zoom session, and I'm going to have this bush. It's going to be on fire, yet it won't be consumed, and I am going to have a dialogue with you, Mr. Moses. And what was that dialogue about? Do you remember? What was that dialogue? What was that, Mike?
Take off your shoes.
Take off your shoes on holy ground. And then he says to him, I need you to do something for me. I need you to get my children out of Israel. I mean, out of Egypt. I hear their cry. I hear their cries. And what did Moses do? kind of like, and finally says, yeah, you're going to. He was convinced. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. That's right after Daniel. Hosea is the book right after Daniel. So I'll go to Ezekiel, Daniel, and then from Daniel, Hosea. I'm not going through all the scriptures. I would love to, but we would be here for way too long. But Hosea chapter 4. Let's go to let's just lay this out. Okay, in the book of Hosea, you have the 10 tribes of Israel. Do you remember what happened with the tribes of Israel? Solomon dies. His son takes over. His son says, you know what? My finger is going to be thicker than my father's thigh. I'm not going to whip you with sticks. I'm going to whip you with scorpion tails. And so the 10 tribes say, I'm done with you. We're out of here, baby. We're gone. Boom. And so the kingdom is split. So you have Rehoboam the second. And so he's up there. He's the king. And he's like, if they go down to, Jerusalem, I'll lose my kingdom. So what did he do? He put in these golden calves. Hey, where did we see golden calves from? Aaron? And what did Aaron say? Oh, these calves just popped up. Moses?
Yeah, right.
You know, we formed and molded them. And so he had these golden calves. And essentially what was going on is the 10 tribes started to do idolatry. And they fell away from the law of God. Thus, we have, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because they have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. So there's a choice here. Are we going to accept the love of God and his will, which is what we found out through Psalm 40, verse 8, that it is God's law. And there's a consequence to it. And God's saying, I want you. And we'll say, no, I don't want you. I want this. He says, no, you will die. And so Hosea says to them in chapter 6, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. The third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Isn't that beautiful? Come on. Can you imagine? You have a life of falling away from God. Your life was like that. Yes, it was. And God says, Tom, return unto God. I know you got tore up. I'm going to heal you. Yes, I'm going to raise you up, and I'm going to be in your sight. And what happens? They don't do it. You know what happened to the 10 tribes of Israel? Does anyone remember? What nation took them in exile? You remember? Syria. And they assimilated into the Syrian culture, and those 10 tribes are lost as of today. Okay, let's go to Matthew 24, which we did already at Sabbath school. But we're going to go to Matthew 24. I see some yawns up. I'm going to proceed. I know it's a little warm. Matthew 24, and we're going to start at 4 through 13. I'm going to read it. And Jesus answered them, said them, they're talking about the Mount of Olives, and he says, hey, what are these things? When is the end of the world going to come? That's the whole thing here. Yeah, they're like, hey, what's the end of the world? What's the end of the world? And Jesus says, hold up, let me answer you He says, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation shall rise against nation. Are we seeing that? Rumors of war? Yeah, we see all of that, right? Are we seeing false prophets? Absolutely. They're all over the place. And kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Are we seeing any of that? Or is this some kind of remote description of what might happen in the future? We're experiencing it now. We are experiencing it now. Let's go to verse 14. Get this one. After all this, okay, I mean, this is pretty much doom and gloom, right? I mean, this is not a good thing. Is this something that we want to wish for? Absolutely not, right? Oh, can we have some wars lately? Can we have some battles? Oh, you know what? I would love to have another COVID-19. No, we would never do that. This is bad. This is really bad. And God is saying to us right here, get this, in verse 14, the worst case scenario that we could ever have. And God says, gotta love, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. What is the action verb in there?
Preached.
Preached. Here's my question. Who's doing the preaching? Who's doing the preaching?
Who? Don't preach.
Who's doing the preaching?
Us.
We all are doing the preaching. Guess what? Remember, study thyself to show thyself approved. Right? Rightfully dividing the word of truth. Okay? People are watching us. You have an audience, they're not. And they're watching how you live. They're watching how you interact. They're watching how you react. They're watching you, just like my beautiful wife laid out how her grandparents showed Jesus. And they didn't even say, hey, young lady, why ain't you reading this book? They didn't do that. They demonstrated the love of God in their lives. And then when that door was opened up, guess what? They shared. And they shared what they studied. They studied God. They studied Jesus. And then when their lives are transformed, and next thing you know, someone's asking them, why do you do that? Why do you pray before this? Why do you argue this? Why aren't you upset when they talked to you? They treated you badly. Why? Why? Why are you so nice to them when they are so mean to you? We have an audience. We are preaching God's word, whether you like it or not. And it can be for the glory of heaven or for the world. That's a scary thing, huh? I was like, oh, Lord. You know, there's a scripture in there. It's like, Lord, let me always say, wait to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Oh, my goodness. Because the moment that words come out, it's like a text. It's gone. You're stuck with it. You are stuck with it. So, the power of the blood of Christ, right? The power is in the blood of Christ.
I mean,
one of my favorite verses is Galatians 2:20. Go to that. If you have your Bible, go to it. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Go to it. This is powerful. This is powerful. I'm telling you, if there's a verse that is worth just reading every day, Galatians 2:20. And I'm going to read it. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for you, and you, and you, 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 and everyone, for all of us, all of us. That is it. That's the power, the faith of Christ in us. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Guess what? It's the faith of Jesus in us that gives us that ability, that gives us to show Jesus, just like Joyce's grandparents. They showed Jesus, not only to Joyce, I'm sure the rest of the family, the son, the everyone was affected by it. So, do we have examples of this? We have our examples. I can tell you that I was not the nicest person. Praise God for the blood of Jesus. How about Saul? Remember Saul in Acts? When he hunted down, we talked about that, didn't we? We talked about how Saul hunted down Christians. And that, during that, they called it the way. They hunted them down. He threw men, women, children. He didn't care. Put them in jail. Let them burn. Let them be stoned. In fact, it was Saul who basically authorized the stoning of Stephen. Imagine how that's going to be in the resurrection day. It's like, hey, I'm the guy. Let them stone me. Yeah, brother, that was me. That was a different me. I got the blood of Jesus. Praise God. How about Peter? Peter says, no, I will never leave you, Lord. Never leave you. What happened to Peter? Denied him how many times?
Three
times denied him. And then what happened after that? He was converted, wasn't he? He was like, man, I cannot do this on my own. I need you, Lord Jesus. And in the last chapter of John, he takes him on the beach. You remember that? And he's walking with them. He says, you're gonna spread your arms out unwillingly, but you're gonna spread your arms out, telling him that he was gonna die. He's gonna die for Christ. And then what did Jesus tell Peter? What did he say? Feed my sheep. And then he also asked him, do you love me? Three times. That's exactly what's going on now. Jesus is asking us, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Allow me to live in you so that you can show me, and that when you have done the work showing me, then they're going to want to know about me. And then let's go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. God's word reads, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, as never as well since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time, the people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Did you catch that? Delivered. Jesus is going to stand up. He says, it's done. Satan, you're through. My children are coming home because I'm going to go get them. And they're delivered. God's word says, if you're in the book of life, You're delivered. How do we get in that book alive? We claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Not climb a mountain. Not crawl up stairs on our knees. We claim him as our Lord and Savior. That he is the Son of God who died for each and every one of us. And guess what? When in the Greek, when it says stand, it actually means a military term, meaning that my kingdom is taking over. This is my kingdom now. This is not yours no more. It's mine. And the devil's going to say, got nothing to go. He's been defeated. He's done. He's finished. And all those that are written in the book will be delivered. Now, is that the last of it? Is that the last of it? All right. I'm going to take you back to Matthew 25, and then we're going to close. Okay, I want this is the approved. This is the kicker. This is approved. Matthew 25, verse 23. I'll get to it. Matthew 25, verse 23. And God's word reads, his Lord said unto him, meaning this is Jesus saying unto us, those written in the book, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The consummation, the pinnacle of what is happening here is now we are saying, I love you, Lord. And God says, I love you. And guess what? We are fireproof, and he is going to wrap his arms, and we are going to fill his need to complete his love, and he will never, never, ever have this controversy again. And we will be with him forever. That's exactly what's going to happen. And we will be. Man, how many want to be approved? I want to be approved. Man, I want to be approved big time. God is love. At this time, we are going to have special music. Not special music. I'm sorry. Closing. We're closing now. Sorry. Okay. I'm going to kneel, okay? Lord Jesus, we come before you, and we are just amazed at how wonderful and loving we have such a dear God. Lord, you tell us that there is no forgiveness of sins without the shame. And before the foundation of the earth, this world, you had set yourself up to be that son. And Lord, we just come to you because you love us. You love us first, therefore we can love you. And so, Lord, we just, again, are just so grateful. We love you. We know, Lord, that you love us with an everlasting love. Therefore, you have drawn us into your son. And we just said, thank you. Fill us with your spirit and allow you, Lord, fill within us the illumination. Lord Jesus, that we may do your good works. We pray this in loving, precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Will we get the video? We're going to stand and we're going to sing our last hymn. For today is 569. So if you have it in your hymnal, or we can.